Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today's Thursday, May 11th, when we're recording. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports today. So today's going to be kind of a talk about a lot of things, maybe a little bit briefly, not as in-depth as we go on some other stuff, just because there's a lot to talk about. Champions League, PGA Tour, a lot of sports gambling going on. Some interesting language being used. I guess we'll get into that in a little bit here. So yeah, a lot to talk about. I think we'll have a good top five for y'all as well. Matt, unless you have any complaints, I say we just start with the PGA Tour, just because that's where I was at last week in Charlotte at the Wells Fargo Championship.
Yeah, I think we've purposely not talked about it very much, so we can talk about it here.
Yeah, I haven't really seen that much, because I got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning. You were obviously asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been gone while you've been at work. So, yeah, last weekend I was at Quail Hollow Country Club in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Wells Fargo Championship, one of the designated events. So it's not a major. It's kind of that next step, probably two tiers below. I'd say tier one is below majors, is like the Players Championship, maybe the Genesis Open in LA and things like that. I'd say this is the next step below. That's not official, just kind of how I'm viewing everything.
Yeah.
Basically everybody's there though. Rory, Tony Finau, obviously, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Max Homa. Scottie Scheffler wasn't there, and I think there was another guy who wasn't there as well, but just because they're both from Texas, they're playing at the Byron Nelson, whatever, this week, because next week's the PGA Championship. Quail Hollow, it's unbelievable. The only other golf tournament I've been to was at Torrey Pines. We've been to Pebble Beach as well. Mm-hmm. That was the only other like PGA level golf course I've like been to personally that I can remember. Walked the whole thing probably 3 or 4 times because we were there both Friday and Saturday. Friday followed Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler's group, and then Xander Schauffele's group. And then once they were done, we followed Tony Finau through the course as well. And then Saturday, we walked through, plus posted up a little bit.
Yeah.
People have a lot of money. There's some unbelievable houses there.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. Also, the sound that their drives make, like the ball like whizzing by, it's uncomprehensible.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm playing with like my buddies, with you, whatever, really anybody... Mm-hmm. Someone's hitting a ball, you're behind them, you're back, anything like forward is in danger of being hit. We were standing basically right in front of them when they were driving, just like no worry at all.
Yeah,
it's surreal like how good they are watching them in person.
That is pretty crazy.
Wyndham Clark ended up winning his first tour win. So yeah, nothing major there, but really cool event. Golf tournaments are super fun. I think most people haven't been to them. But I know you haven't been.
I
think you'd like it. It is a long day, and it was pretty hot in Charlotte, obviously.
Right.
But it was a really good time. Really pretty course. Quail Hollow is awesome. A lot of cool holes. Really fun time. Yeah.
Nice.
And obviously North Carolina's sick. Made my buddy go to Cookout a couple times, Bojangles for breakfast.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Cookout's a good place.
Got a strawberry shake I was very pleased with.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hush Puppies are good. We need to get one in Utah.
That'd be nice.
We need to get one in Utah.
I would love that, yeah.
Yeah, so this week, Byron Nelson. Next week's the PGA Championship, so we might talk a little bit more golf next week as well. Should we do the betting next, or what else do you want to...
Yeah, we can do the betting.
So, just a couple kind of interesting betting stories. We never talked about the Lions gambling, so I guess we could talk about that kind of all at once here.
Yeah.
Because I think it was about a month ago, or maybe it was like right before the draft, but a few Lions players, including Jameson Williams, who's the best player, really the kind of the best player out of the group. Jameson Williams got suspended for betting on the NBA in the team facility. So not football, but not allowed to do it. Other players got suspended and really just cut because they were kind of like special teamers, and I think they were betting on other football games. They're going to be suspended indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions just cut them. Last week, it might have been earlier this week, but like within a week, Alabama's baseball coach got suspended because there was a suspicious like bet made on the Alabama game. So he was in Ohio. Scratched the starting pitcher who was projected to start right before the game. then made a call from the dugout. The receiving end of that call placed a very large bet on college baseball, and I think college baseball doesn't get a lot of gambling. I like to dabble a little bit in that. But that set off some warning flags, and I'd kind of never really seen that before. And the bet was against Alabama baseball, which I, even if it was for it, wouldn't be better, but...
Yeah, that's...
How dumb do you have to be?
Yeah, I can't even believe... Yeah, because I didn't know all the details, but that's just, like, the abs... You can justify a lot of other kinds of gambling as a coach or an athlete, but that just... That's insane. And, well, what's crazy about it is, like, the idea that, yeah, I'll probably get away with this. I bet nobody's going to catch me calling from the dugout.
People are so stupid. I mean, and honestly, this Tuscaloosa has been on a heck of a ride.
Right.
So the basketball team obviously had the Brandon Miller situation. Mm-hmm. Allegedly brought the gun to the murderer, I guess, person who was accused of the murder.
Yeah.
So not the actual shooter was Brandon Miller, the best basketball player on the team. And football, this is much less stakes, but still in Tuscaloosa, anything football is way more exponential. They didn't name a starting quarterback. Jalen Milroe, and I forgot the five-star's name, but he's a freshman from Tennessee. Neither of them won the job, so they brought in Tyler Buchner, Notre Dame transfer, committed to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely going to be a drop-off from Bryce Young.
Right.
And I know if the options are alleged murder weapon, gambling on your own sport, or who's starting at quarterback. I know all three of those aren't on the same level, but you do have to factor in where we're talking about.
Yeah, no, Alabama definitely cares about the starting quarterback way more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I am fascinated by what that athletic director has got going on and what he's dealing with. And
yeah.
Everything, because Alabama, football is obviously football, but really all their sports have been doing really well.
Yeah, what is the, yeah, shout out Alabama women's cross country, but what is the deal with Alabama not being able to recruit a quarterback that they like? I mean, it feels like it's been going on for about 10 years, and, like, they land on, you know, Bryce Young eventually, but it felt like they were never really happy with Jalen Hurts. It felt like, you know, that, it felt like Tua got benched at some point, and just, like, they can't figure out that quarterback position.
Ty Simpson is the freshman from Tennessee who I blanked on his name. Yeah. So I apologize. Well, really, and I think in my article I wrote after Georgia beat them for the national championship, I talked about kind of the transition of Alabama's offense, where really there was they haven't had anybody sent. I think when Lane Kiffin came in, that was the year Cooper Bateman got benched for Jalen Hurts.
Uh-huh.
And that was really the first time they kind of had the open spread offense go get him, as opposed to just trying to score 17 points a game and letting the defense do everything else.
Yeah.
They haven't had any quarterbacks in the NFL, though, like, have real success. Joe Namath, I think, is the last quarterback who I would say had a successful NFL career from Alabama.
Yeah. So we're counting Jalen Hurts as an Oklahoma guy then?
I am.
I think that's fair. I forgot... Did Cooper lose the job to Jalen Hurts? I forgot that.
Yeah, so it was actually two different quarterbacks. So,
yeah,
so it was a USC-Alabama game.
Yeah, I think we should say, for context, we went to high school, Cottonwood High School. Jake played with Cooper Bateman, quarterback at Cottonwood.
Yeah, you know, but Monty Jones actually gave Cooper Bateman a shout-out on his most recent episode.
On the most recent episode?
Yeah, the one with Spencer Hall.
Oh, he talked about him. I remember him talking about that one hit, but I do not. I haven't listened to this episode, so I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, well, so I think Spencer Hall might have brought him up. But, yeah, so that's the reason we're talking about Cooper Bateman so much, just because we know him personally. But Alabama-USC game, it was the game where USC came out, like, crawling, and then Alabama beat him, like, 52-3 or something like that.
Yes.
The plan was to play both Cooper Bateman and the other guy who ended up transferring to, like, University of South Florida and Arizona State or something like that. Both of them kind of sucked. And then Jalen Hurts came in and took the job. Cooper did play in the Ole Miss game. I'm kind of forgetting the chronological order of how that happened. But then Robert Kimdichie just, like, not laid him out. one of the biggest hits I've ever seen.
Yeah, I do think, and I mean, it worked out for me. I love Jalen Hurts being on the Eagles. I do wish that Cooper would have got more than the one drive. In that game, he only got one drive, I remember, and I was upset.
Yeah, and it wasn't that good of a drive.
Yeah, I mean, he threw an interception, and that's why he got hit.
Yeah.
But
I'm pulling up the Ole Miss hit. Because it was so... I love Cooper. It was so funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, he threw an interception. And it was one of the two games that Ole Miss had won, like... Because they beat Alabama 2 years in a row. So, it was one of those games.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Robert Kendiche. So, Cooper threw Bateman's and Kendiche just blindsided him. It was hilarious. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts took over. They really haven't... Because Milroe was a 4-star. Ty Simpson was a 5-star. I was surprised that Simpson just didn't win the job outright. Because he's really good. High school quarterback. And Milroe was really good as well. Milroe stepped in for Bryce Young in the Texas A&M game last year. And I like Tyler Buchner as well. So all three of them, I think, are talented. But none of them are Bryce Young as well.
Yeah.
You know? I'm honestly very shocked Ty Simpson didn't win the job outright. I would still bet money on him to win the job.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting.
Yeah. Next year, I don't want to do a college football preview quite yet, but it is going to be interesting next year just because Alabama's replacing their quarterback, Georgia's replacing a ton of their defense. So you think both those schools take a step back, but they're still Alabama and Georgia. You know, Ohio State's going to be on a new quarterback, so it's going to be, you know, a lot of new faces in college football.
Cooper's interception, he wasn't even close to the receiver. He kind of deserved to get hit, honestly, after watching it again.
Yeah.
It was like 15 yards away. You know who I'm thinking I'm going to pick to win the national championship?
Michigan.
Yeah. Hey. How'd you know that?
Well, it's just, I don't know. I just kind of guess. Well, it's not going to be one of the schools that I just said. He's not going to say Clemson. And so, therefore, Michigan was the best team left.
Yeah. I really, really like J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback. He's going to be starting for the second year in a row. Blake Corum, their running back's coming back. We won't go into whole depth on it. But, yeah, Georgia's lost, I think, 24 defensive starters in 2 years to the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
That seems too high to me. But, like, they've lost it. And that might just be, it might just be 24 starters, not defensive starters. But,
yeah,
an insane amount. No matter how high level you're recruiting, you lose 20-plus people to the NFL. And I actually like Carson Beck. I've been very public in stating that Stetson Bennett was, like, maybe the fourth best quarterback on the roster.
Yeah.
So they are going to get a quarterback upgrade with Carson Beck, who I think will end up being the starter.
Right.
But
getting another 20 NFL players is essentially impossible.
Right. There's going to be younger players.
Yeah.
You know, inexperienced players. Alabama, hopefully they get some receivers that can create separation because it sounds like the quarterback's going to need help. They lost Brian Branch. They lost Jordan Battle. They lost Will Anderson. Dallas Turner still going to be really good edge rusher. So I would pick, if I was picking today, I'd pick Alabama to win the SEC over Georgia and over LSU. I think will be the top three teams there. I'd put Tennessee fourth. Yeah, Michigan, though, no-brainer. I think I'm picked to win the Big Ten. And I just like what they're returning. More than everybody else, they've been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. I imagine they're pissed off about not winning it, though. They play Ohio State in Ann Arbor again this year, which is going to help. So I don't like Michigan, but I like them to do well this year.
It's better than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about want to with Alabama a lot. I think we need to spend some more time on Michigan's want to. Because I've never been to Ann Arbor. It's probably a bigger city than Tuscaloosa. It's definitely colder. It's got to be. I know it's colder. And
you know it's colder than Alabama.
I know it's colder than Alabama. And it just like, see, I don't know. Like after having, you know, this summer after we drove through those northern states, I was like, oh, this would be kind of hard to recruit a kid to come to one of these places.
Yeah. So. I think they have the idea of want to. I think the administration is more concerned with academics.
Sure.
Where,
but the fact that they have been to the playoff 2 years in a row, that says something.
I think Jim Harbaugh wants to really, really bad.
Yes. Yeah. That might be it. That might just be a Jim Harbaugh's a crazy person.
He literally, I think he's the mentally equipped, Kobe Bryant's probably the closest person. Just there's some wires that are kind of tick differently with those guys.
Right. But Kobe could turn it on to like be charismatic. Like you'd be like you hear Kobe get interviewed and be like, that's a weird thing to say. But if you hear Jim Harbaugh, it's like, that's a weird person.
Yeah, no, there's something, like, Kobe was wired differently. Harbaugh's, like, probably missing a couple wires.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I think he's a better college coach than the NFL. Just, like, not to talk about my high school football team forever, but, like, our high school coach who went to college, and it didn't work really well because he couldn't really chew and yell out college players like good high school players.
Yeah.
I think NFL players don't put up with this Harbaugh stuff as much as college players do.
Right.
Which works. He's been recruiting really, really well. I think top 5 recruiting class last year. Definitely in the top 10. All of this is off the top of my head, so that's why we're not having anything for sure. But I really, really like J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback. I don't think we're talking about him enough. I'd pick Oregon to win the Pac-12, by the way, if it was today.
Interesting.
Just so you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I was just worried about Cam Rising with Utah's knee injury coming back.
Is that dude coming back again?
He's on the roster. Yeah, he just tore his ACL in January, though, in the Rose Bowl.
Yes, I knew that. I just thought he was a senior. I thought people were talking about his last game.
I think he's a COVID senior. I think people thought he was going to go to the NFL. Yeah. Maybe if he doesn't get hurt, he does.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's a COVID senior. So I think Britton Covey might technically be eligible still if he wanted to be in college. Just because of COVID and his mission and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
I might be wrong on that. This last year might have been his last eligible year, but...
Yeah, so...
What were we talking about?
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. Interesting guy. At Ohio State, they lost C.J. Stroud, so there's a chance that Devin... Oh, shoot. I'm forgetting everybody's name. The Corner Canyon quarterback. It's like Devin Brown or Smith or something like that.
Let's say that I played quarterback for Ohio State.
It is Devin Brown.
How many passes do you think I could complete in a drive, given that I know it wouldn't be very many, but also Marvin Harrison Jr. plays for them, or the third, or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be a lot of screens, is what they'd be calling.
Right.
You know? So, I guess it just depends on if Marvin Harrison can break some tackles.
I feel like I could... Yeah, because like I feel like I can get it in his general area, and if I do that, he's going to catch it.
They also have Emeka Buka, who, if Marvin Harrison didn't play on the team, would be getting a lot of credit. Just kind of like how Jaxon Smith-Njigba, no one talked about him because he was playing with Garrett Williams and Chris Olave.
Yeah.
But they have two really good wide receivers, too. I would say Emeka Buka's I would put him in the top 5 in the country as receivers. So I think if you had to pick a team to try to complete some passes to... It's not Garrett Williams. What is his name? This is embarrassing. But, yeah, if you had to pick a team to complete some passes to, and that's, yeah, it'd be Ohio State. So I don't want to, like, count them out. I just think Michigan's beat them 2 years in a row. I like their infrastructure and their coaching staff better. I like their quarterback better than whoever's going to be starting for Ohio State. So I would go with Michigan.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts there. Garrett Wilson. Not Williams. It's been a long week.
Yeah.
Been a really long week.
It has.
But Iowa, going back to the gambling, Iowa and Iowa State, I think, had 26 combined athletes get suspended. And from what's been reported, from what I've seen, none of them were betting on, like, their actual sport, but, like, a lot of them bet on, like, Iowa, South Carolina, the women's basketball game. Some of them bet on, like, the NBA and stuff like that. And from my understanding, you're not allowed to bet on any sport at any level that the NCAA awards a championship in.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which I think makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, you could say if you're a football player, why can't you bet on women's basketball? I get that. But also, like, if the rules are the rules, you have to be really dumb not to do that.
Yeah. Well, they're two separate discussions, right? Like, whether it should be a rule or whether it was dumb to break the rule. Like, that was a big thing that came up with Sha'Carri Richardson. A lot of people were so focused on, like, oh, why would you take marijuana when you know you're not supposed to? And then other people were like, oh, it's such a dumb rule that marijuana is not legal since it's not a performance-enhancing drug. And those two people just could not talk to each other. There was just zero communication there or understanding. So,
Yeah, and it's frustrating, but they're just two different conversations.
Yeah.
Completely.
Right.
You know?
So, but yeah, with this gambling thing, is it just that it's so much easier now that it's happening more?
Yeah, like, Iowa just legalized it, I think, pretty recently. So, you can have DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever just, like, on your phone. They have sports books now where you can go, like, place a bet in person. Uh-huh. So, I think it's just the access.
Yeah.
And also, every sports book, like, if you watch any sporting event, it's sponsored by FanDuel or DraftKings, and it's talking about sports gambling.
Yeah.
Podcasts are related to gambling. Like, it's just all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that. All they're doing is gambling, 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 gambling. But it's literally, like, the worst thing you can do as an athlete.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people, not with this, but just kind of in general, talk about, oh, like, and I agree with this, so I'm just, like, quoting, but I agree, because they'll say domestic violence suspensions are less than, like, what Calvin Ridley got for betting on the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that's so stupid. Well, it's not that gambling is worse than domestic violence. It's that domestic violence doesn't directly affect the product of the NFL.
Yes.
If you want to say suspend them longer for Desmond, I'm not arguing against that. But you can't have people gambling on sport, because that just affects everything.
Yes, yeah. So it's not that it's not that the suspensions for domestic violence are too short. It's that for you, the gambling suspensions have to be as long as they are. And if anything, we just need to bring the other ones up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they at least a year, if not. I'm honestly surprised Calvin really didn't get a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Just because the idea of athletes gambling on their sport and their league is catastrophic. Because, like Pete, there's so much money involved in that. And the NFL gets so many viewers, not just from people like football, but from fantasy football and people betting on the games. If there's even a hint or a shred of was that legitimate, then it's all gone away.
Right.
I mean, no, it's not like literally no one's going to watch the NFL anymore, but like all that gambling's just gone. All that money just disappeared.
Which is just a ton. It'd be interesting to look at the numbers. I'm not going to pretend to know them, but it's a staggering amount.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy because literally 5 years ago, it was completely frowned upon.
Right.
And now it's just commonplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I don't feel like I have enough money to be doing it. I also don't think I'd be good enough to do it, but I feel like you've done okay.
I'm probably, like, average, like, kind of right. I'll probably gained or lost less than $100 over everything.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm only doing, like, 10 or 20 bucks
right.
at a time, so nothing crazy.
Yes, that's not bad.
And it's also not super, definitely more common during college football.
For sure, yeah.
Like, during the season last year, I'll probably do it again, but I would tweet out, like, the five, like, lines I like the best.
Uh-huh.
I think I was, like, even or, like, up, like, three games or something like that, so.
Yeah.
Which, it's tough. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's also random.
Yeah, well, the ball is oblong.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pablo Torre used to talk about that. Like, it's oblong, so you can't, why would you bet on that?
Yeah. Now, let's switch to basketball real quick here. Now, we're only going to talk about this for about 30 seconds, more mentioning it. We don't have too much commentary to add, but West Virginia's head coach, Bob Huggins, basketball coach, was on a Cincinnati radio show talking about the rivalry between Xavier and Cincinnati, and he used a anti-gay slur, I would add anti-religious slur as well, calling the Xavier fans Catholic F-words with a G. From what we've seen, this is again, as of our recording, Thursday, May 11th, 3-game suspension, $1 million fine is the punishment. Again, I don't think we have a whole lot to add to that, but just kind of, it happened as a pretty big deal. Wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have too much commentary. I mean, other people have talked about it. It's obviously a terrible thing to say, but yeah.
I would add it's a stupid thing to say in addition to being a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, this episode has kind of been the theme of well, how are people so dumb? Like, there's just some stuff you can't do. There's some stuff you can't say.
Right.
And it's just kind of the world we live in. You got to deal with it.
Yeah. You know? And it seems, some of them seem obvious, so.
It would seem obvious. No, and it is a terrible thing to say. Like, it was honestly so terrible, I didn't even think he said it. Because I was talking to you about it last night.
Right.
I thought he said the other F word. Like, Are we allowed to spell it out?
I don't know. It's your...
I thought he said, I thought he called them Catholic F-U-C-K, like that F word.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't seem that bad. And then you're like, because I didn't even cross my mind that he would say the other one.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, you, no one, you cannot say that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. I will say, you know, and maybe this is just like, I don't know. I feel like in college or something, I somehow got the impression that, you know, we were, you know, becoming and being part of a generation and a society where, you know, discrimination against gay people is going away. But then, like, you hear this stuff, and honestly, just being in my high school and listening to the kids and the stuff in the hall, it's still there, like, just as much as when we were in high school.
High school it is?
Yeah. And, like, I know that there's been a lot of, you know, advancement for gay rights and stuff, which has been great. But, yeah, I feel like a lot of the cultural stuff, it feels like has not moved very much.
See, I'm not surprised West Virginia's head coach is a little bit behind, but I am surprised your high school kids are, just because they're growing up in the... I would have thought they'd be more progressive, quote-unquote,
yeah,
than, like, our generation is.
Yeah, and I mean, they're also kids, you know, like, I teach 15-year-olds and 17-year-olds, and so they're still children. I think most of them don't really understand that. Honestly, with the racial stuff either, I don't think they get why it's, you know, so important.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't like about Utah, and this isn't an excuse, just kind of the reality, is there's not a lot of diversity here, uh-huh, other than Polynesians, but even that's just certain parts of Salt Lake City, really.
Right.
So most people grow up, like, our rival high school, I think, had 5 kids who weren't white in it.
Yeah, well, that was another thing that was different about Cottonwood, is that we had that refugee program where all the refugees in Salt Lake are... A huge number of them came to Cottonwood. So, yeah, that was a really cool thing for us. I feel like we maybe got exposed to a more diverse situation than a lot of people in Salt Lake, which is really great.
But, yeah, definitely meeting people from, like, Olympus or, like, Alta High. We live right by Alta High School. No one not from Utah is going to know these schools are, but just kind of a general thing. It's a very white state, so people just don't get exposed to learning about other cultures, and that's one of the, I think... the weather's the worst thing, but that's a very pretty big up there thing.
Yeah, and, like, it's not, you know, and talking to the kids, like, it's not the kids' fault, obviously. Like, they don't know where to grow up.
I think it's just more ignorance, which isn't their fault, but it is, the ignorance does create some of the I'll say, we can say problems or issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you hear about parents wanting to ban books in schools, that's why it's bad, because it's willful ignorance. So
yeah, I'll never understand banning To Kill a Mockingbird. I know you know a lot more about what books are kind of up for discussion there, mm-hmm, but that's because we grew up in Utah, not a ton of exposure to different diversity and to African Americans. But that book was kind of my first exposure, and really the movie too, more as a kid.
Yeah,
but exposure to, like, oh, black people, you had to deal with a lot more, and really, like, I could never believe the trial. Every time I watched this, like, there's no way Tom Robinson's going to be guilty. There's no possible way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that was my kind of real first exposure to, speaking of words you can't say, how bad the N-word was and how hurtful it was, and also just surface level, but, like, how it is, they do have a lot more to deal with than we do.
Yeah, well, that was a frustrating thing, teaching To Kill a Mockingbird, is because a lot of the kids had that same experience of you, where it's just like, it's crazy that this thing happened, but a lot of them don't realize this, like, oh, this was something in the 60s that's not going on now, and so many of them just could not see any relevance for today, which was pretty discouraging.
Very disheartening. So. That's not where I thought today's podcast was going
to
go.
Yeah, we can go back to sports, but...
So, there's your race relations stuff for the year, I guess. Should we do the top 5?
Let's do the top 5.
Okay, now, this is my top 5 best athletes of all time.
Athletes. Okay.
It is going to be a lot of track athletes, just give you a heads up on that.
That's good for me.
I also definitely could have missed some folks, so... I'll go first so you can kind of think a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Best athletes of all time. Number 5, I'll say and let you talk about it in a little more detail. Number five is Carl Lewis.
Interesting choice. Great. Okay, cool.
I'll also say at the end who I wanted to put on there. Number four is Deion Sanders.
Sure, I think that's fair.
Three is Jim Thorpe.
Good choice.
Two is Jesse Owens.
Love Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens is the coolest athlete in American history. Number one is Bo Jackson. To me, to be on the list, you either had to be like a multi-gold medalist in track or a multi-sport professional athlete.
Yeah.
Is what it ended up being. Carl Lewis and Jim Thorpe, I'll let you talk about them more. Deion Sanders played in both an NFL and a World Series game at the same time. Could have been an even better baseball player than he was. Bo Jackson's the only person to be all pro in both football and baseball. Really, really two different sports.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Owens, my number two, coolest athlete of all time. In the Olympics in 1936, it wasn't like full-on World War II Nazi Germany, but like Hitler was, it was basically Nazi Germany at that point.
Yeah.
Hitler's in charge. Hitler wanted to use that Olympics to show, you know, the dominance of the Aryan race, to quote him. Jesse Owens, he goes out, wins four gold medals. Just a complete baller.
Yeah, sir. Jesse Owens certainly had the best moment of any of these athletes that you named.
I wanted to put Michael Johnson on the list. I decided to put Carl Lewis on instead. But Michael Johnson, 96 Olympics in Atlanta?
Yes.
Just, I think that's the most dominant performance, especially the 200 meters. So, wanted to put Michael Johnson on there. I'll let you talk about Carl Lewis and Jim Thorpe because you know him better than me.
Yeah, so Jim Thorpe, I'm looking at this, and this is more interesting than anything else. He won in the same Olympics, won the decathlon 10 track events and the pentathlon 5 track events.
I didn't even know they did that.
Well, it seems weird. Like, why would they have both events? And if you have both events, why would you let the same person compete in both? That seems crazy to me. But yeah, Jim Thorpe might be number one. Professional baseball player, professional football player. I'm quite sure that he played lacrosse as well, winning obviously decathlon, which decathlon might be the best measure of who's the best athlete that we have.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think, yeah, Carl Lewis is definitely more of an all-around athlete than Michael Johnson because of the long jump. Athletes don't really do long jump anymore. And so I think a lot of the athletes we pick are necessarily going to be older. Michael Johnson certainly had higher highs.
Yeah, I just think his performance in the 200, well, everything, but the 200 in particular, is just so dominating. And I know Usain Bolt broke his record, but like at the time, what he ran, was it 1919, right?
Well, Bolt ran 1919. Michael Johnson ran 1932.
Okay, yeah, that is so, I think the next closest one until Bolt, wasn't it like 1906 or something like that?
It might have been 1905, but yeah, but in that zone.
That is a long time in track, especially huge. In a 200 meter dash.
Uh-huh.
I think it's so dominant for so long that I think you should get some props.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. This is one that I didn't know about, so I'm not going to say, you know, my list definitively. A couple people I probably would mention Usain Bolt, just because he was so, not only was he so good, but he was so good for so long. Nobody has ever won the 100 meters in two Olympics back to back. And Usain Bolt did it three times, as well as the 200 and the 4x1. So I kind of want to say him. I think if there's anybody else that I thought about, one other person I would put on is Emil Satopek. He's a distance runner from Czechoslovakia at the time in the 52 Olympics and I believe also the 56 Olympics. His thing was that there's been a lot of athletes who have run, you know, from the mile all the way up to the marathon and done well. He's really the only one who's done them all at the same time. He won the 5,000, the 10,000, and the marathon at the same Olympics. And it was his first ever marathon, by the way. I think you've heard this story. But Emil Satopek, he's running the marathon. He decides to do it kind of last minute. And so he just goes up and he says, okay, who is the favorite? Who has the fastest time? And they say, oh, well, such and such from England. He's like, great, I'm going to stick with him. And so he's running with him. He goes for about 5 miles. And then Emil Satopek says to him, "Hey, isn't this kind of slow?" And this really irritated the British guy. It's like, "Yeah, normally I go a lot faster, but I'm just trying to conserve my energy." Emil Satopek says, "Okay," just speeds ahead of him and just destroys everybody. He did not lose a distance race for 4 years, which is pretty incredible. I would put on there. I think, honestly, you know, both of these people are too young. I think you really got to look at Sydney McLaughlin, Lavrone, and then a thing Mo. I think in a couple of years we might look back and they would be put on this list as well.
You know, marathon runners are super underappreciated. I think a great test, like at the Wells Fargo Championship, they had like a short game challenge, you know, where you like kind of chipped a little bit. Mm-hmm. At soccer games, I'll have like kicking challenges, like blah blah blah.
Uh-huh.
I think a fun thing would be how long can you run at a marathon pace of like a professional? Because yeah. I think for me it'd be maybe 200 meters.
Yeah, they'll do it occasionally at like Boston or New York. They'll put Eliud Kipchoge's like time on a treadmill and then they hook you up to a harness so you don't get flung into a wall, basically.
Yeah,
but it really is like 30 seconds for most people.
And they're doing it for 26 miles.
Yeah.
That is so fast. It's under 5 minute miles, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, them. One person we didn't put on here that I don't think belongs is Michael Phelps. Obviously, he did good at a lot of events, but they were all in the same distance range. And I don't think he was nearly as dominant as the people we suggested. He wasn't as far ahead of the competition as Usain Bolt or Carl Lewis or Jesse Owens or these people.
Yeah, I the swimming's obviously incredibly hard. I just think it's so such a specific thing where like running and jumping or like playing football and baseball like is more athleticism.
Yes.
Than swimming is. Not that they're not incredible athletes and talented and it's difficult, but when I'm thinking of athleticism, I am thinking of running, jumping, stuff like that.
Yes.
Coordination. So. Like, Bo Jackson is, like, go watch Bo Jackson highlights. He's unbelievable, both football and baseball. He had, like, an incredible arm. His Auburn highlights and his Raiders highlights are insane. And Deion's the best cornerback of all time, plus a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
All right. One person that, you know, we absolutely have to put on here that I almost forgot, Eric Heiden, is a speed skater. And speed skaters, like, it's so specific, it's hard to really put someone when we're comparing them to track athletes and everybody else. The reason I want to put him on is at the Olympics, he won the 500, the 1,000, the 1,500, the 5,000, and the 10,000. Like, imagine a track athlete winning an event that is one lap and then winning all the events in between up to 25 laps. Just absolutely unheard of. Your body's using completely different energy systems. So that's something, I think that is probably the greatest performance in the Olympics in anything ever.
It is insane when you contextualize it to track. It's been quite a journey, today's episode.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we don't know what we're going to talk about, I guess. But appreciate everybody listening. We will be back next week, earlier in the week, since, you know, because I got back into town a little bit late, that kind of threw us off the schedule. But if you haven't given us a 5-star review, please do so. Leave a comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you guys next week.